Welcome aboard. Glad you're there. You can reach us at RogerHitchcock.com, and we are, we are just having a great time here at the CPAC convention, the Conservative Political Action Convention, put on by the American Conservative Union Foundation and 90 other conservative groups who have joined here today to bring together 10,000 activists from all over the country in what is an explosion. It's almost a celebration of the commitment to restore our Constitution and our opportunity society and our free market economy. One of those, and I'm blessed to say that he attended the University of San Diego, born and raised in San Diego, and he's the founder and president of the Hispanic Leadership Fund, Mario Lopez. Mario, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Roger. Thanks for having me on.
It's great to see you. Tell me about the Hispanic Leadership Fund. What's this all about?
Well, what we're trying to do is we created an organization to take a very active and aggressive approach to communicating free market, limited government, and individual liberty principles in the Hispanic community across the country.
Democrats are taking Hispanic voters for granted. They believe that handouts are going to appeal to that entitlements and handouts and government guarantees and government give you this, give you that. You look at the surveys and that's having an impact among Latino voters. I see this, this to the point where I heard an activist the other day, white guy, Democrat, saying that he thought that these illegals were simply undocumented Democrats. I mean, this is the kind of attitude they have about this whole thing.
Right. Well, they're really on a tear to try to increase government dependency across all sectors of the American economy.
That's true.
But certainly what they see is one of their key constituencies, and that's minority communities. And so we're here to really take aim directly at the heart of that scheme.
Now, how do you intend to do that? Because that's a worthwhile goal. I think it's a crime to subvert immigrants with the idea that, hey, don't worry about anything. Government will take care of you. We've got free medical care. We've got free. When that's not the spirit that built America. I mean, my immigrant forebears came here, without a dime, got jobs, worked hard, and they built what they built. That should be the American dream.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I went, you mentioned the University of San Diego. It's obviously a Catholic school. I had a lot of friends who were Irish Catholic, and we'd talk about politics, in between now and again, in between the parties and that. But we talk about politics, and I had a few of them tell me very similar stories to where their grandparents were, Irish immigrants from the Northeast, and they sat around at some point when they were growing at a formative stage of their life, and their grandparents said, son, whatever you do, don't ever vote for a Republican, because when I came here, the Democrat Party helped me to vote, helped me to get a job, helped me to find a house, and the Republicans didn't want me here, right? And so they created these what Grover Norquist calls legacy voters, these where they just will not vote for one side because they think that, that this attitude prevails. And so what we're here to say is we want to communicate on the issues and make sure that we do not just outreach to Hispanic communities, but also educate conservatives on the tremendous opportunities there are to communicate their values of freedom and prosperity to the Hispanic community.
Well, I there isn't anything more important as far as I can see, because you get a lot of, in San Diego, we know a lot of people who are either recent immigrants or they're sons and daughters of immigrants, and they come out of Mexico, and I'll tell you, there was no opportunity there except if you were doing something illegal. I mean, there's no institutionalized opportunity for poor people to become wealthier or even middle class in Mexico, very little anyway. And I knew some people who came to the United States and were so grateful that they became wealthy. They became wealthy because they took advantage of the opportunity, not of the government program, but of the opportunity to build a business.
Right.
And there's
right.
so many great stories of that, and they need to be highlighted for the rest of the Hispanic community.
Absolutely. Hispanics actually start small businesses at a rate 3 times that of the general population.
Yeah, God bless
them. So that's a tremendous opportunity. And in addition, you mentioned the messaging. Part of the things that we're trying to say was we're trying to draw clear contrast and tell these voters, Democrats and liberals are the ones that are trying to turn America into something that looks like countries that you fled.
Yeah.
So
for a reason,
right? Exactly. And that we found that message really, really resonates, because people understand that and say, "Hey, I came here. My grandparents, my parents came here. They came here because of something, and they ran away from something. And so, why would we want to go back to failed socialist policies?"
Are there candidates now that you see coming up, Hispanic background, that would embody this kind of thing and be able through their campaigns to offer that alternative, where there's kind of a vacuum. You look around, if there's only Democrats talking, then that's what they're going to be promising is everything under the sun if you just vote for me.
Right.
I mean, are we seeing in the Hispanic community, are we seeing leadership?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Give me some examples.
Well, part of our mission is actually to work with some of these candidates. So you have the biggest name out there right now is Marco Rubio in Florida.
He wowed this convention with that speech he
did. He really did. And there are actually two districts in Texas that each have two Hispanic Republicans in the primaries.
Wow.
There's one in Washington State as well where that's the case. Here in California in the 11th district, there's a gentleman that's running in the primary there as well. So we're still in those primary stages.
Yep.
So kind of have to see how everything shakes out.
Well, the more the merrier.
Yeah, but definitely there are those candidates. In New Mexico, there's a gentleman named John Barella in the first district of New Mexico. Susana Martinez is running for governor there. She's also in a primary, but we've seen an explosion, especially compared to previous election cycles, of conservative Hispanic candidates across the country.
As you talk to people in the Hispanic community, communities, because there's a number of them, and the Central American folks are a lot different than the Cubans and so forth. But when you talk to people who are of Hispanic heritage overall, whatever community they come from, how do they view and how do we deal with the legislation that Senator Schumer says is coming down the pike? We haven't seen it yet, but presumably would be along the same lines as a Kennedy-McCain bill on amnesty and citizenship and the whole situation of dealing with the millions and millions of people who are here illegally. How do we deal with that?
Right. Well, first of all, I don't have any faith that Obama's going to bring up this immigration bill. I think they're scared of it, and I think Rahm Emanuel has proven himself that he doesn't like this issue, and he's no friend of the Hispanic community. But the second thing is, I actually fear this as maybe a galvanizing tactic for their side. The liberals are desperate to change the conversation from how inept they have been over the last year since Obama's been in power, and actually over the last 3 years since they took back the congressional majority.
Right.
So what I'm afraid of is that they're looking at the immigration bill as a potential way to galvanize their side and divide our side and change the conversation. But I would expect that in any immigration bill that the Obama administration puts out to be just like every bill that they've put out, a Christmas tree for big union bosses, loaded with pork, loaded with more spending, just impossible frameworks to work through. So I think that represents a tremendous opportunity for our side to be against whatever the Obama administration may put forward. If it's what we expect it to be, and then at the same time, communicate a smaller government, pro-freedom message.
And let's talk about the alternative then. What would you like to see in a bill that addresses issues in immigration?
Well, it probably the best thing to do at this point is to do a piecemeal approach. I think people are tired of the big comprehensive approaches. Too much stuff gets hidden away. But we really want to see starting with a streamlining of the legal immigration process. A lot of people really don't understand.
What a pain in the neck.
That it's
my grandmother stepped ashore at Ellis Island, man. It took part of a day for her to get deloused. She never liked that. She was deloused. Then she had to show her medical record. Then she had to show that she had a relative in Brooklyn. Then she had to show that the relative had a job for her, and she would promise not to be on the public welfare dole, and she was in.
Right.
That was it.
Right. Yep, exactly. And, we're not suggesting that the same exact thing is workable today, but certainly, waiting 14,
more than
15,
10 months
20
and,
years,
yeah.
That's
right.
And jumping through these bureaucratic hurdles, I think we have a great story to tell as conservatives, and I talk about this all the time. Big government has screwed up our immigration system.
What do you do about the border?
The way big government has screwed up everything else.
Oh, that's true. What about the... We're talking to Mario Lopez. He's the president of the Hispanic Leadership Fund. What do you do about the border now? Because it's a no man's land. The gangs.
Right.
Juarez
is
emptying out. I mean, you know about Juarez. 100,000 homes in Juarez are abandoned today. People have left because this is warfare.
Right. Well, the situation at the border, certainly immigration's one piece of it. The drug flow is another piece of it. The national security issues of potential terrorists coming through is yet another piece.
Yep.
So what we think is that if you get a strong, consistent legal flow of immigration, for example, the Bracero program that we had in the 1950s, you saw apprehensions of illegal crossings drop dramatically during that time because
That's right.
there were better, more consistent more efficient,
less dangerous
legal ways to come here. And no one really wants to cross 300 miles worth of desert because they think it's a fun thing to do.
Right.
They do it because for opportunity. And so we can find ways to harness that in a legal way, then our Border Patrol can, I think, more efficiently concentrate on the gangs, on the drug smugglers, on these, you know, God knows what else is coming
across
every
day. What do you do about the people, Mario, here, who are illegally here, many of whom put down roots, and yet they're here?
This is a very, it's a very tough question, and I think any immigration.
Because they broke the law to get here, and people, it ropes people the wrong way.
No, you know, absolutely, absolutely. And the thing is, we've think that there should needs to be a way for people to get right with the law. You can never, if you, you know, certain boil down to certain principles. If you cross illegally, you should never be ahead of the line of someone who's been who's put in an application to wait for citizenship. I think that's fair. That's just. I think that you should have to pay some sort of a fine, pay some sort of back taxes, make sure that you're on the tax payrolls, that you owe the rest of the taxpayers in this country anything that you may owe. You know, we favor those types of measures, but you know, at the same time, we think mass deportation I think would be impossible, unworkable, and a complete nightmare, and actually, frankly, jeopardize a lot of the conservative voting bloc.
And nobody's suggesting that. I don't think anybody said, let's round him up and send him home. Although this recession has sent home, according to the New York Times, a million have already estimated have already left just because there's no jobs for illegals, less people who are here illegally. And yet it's that same recession that's also increasing the tension. Because as unemployment goes up and people illegally in the country still have jobs, other people, citizens and so forth, get angry about it.
There's
more need to solve this problem than ever.
Sure, absolutely. But we want to make sure that, you know, the solutions are based on, I think, constructive economic thinking.
Yeah.
Right? There's not, you know, this sense that there's only a limited amount of jobs. That's, I think, a sort of very leftist way to look at the world. We view it as
there's limited amount now,
dynamic,
is what I'm saying.
Right, but what we want to do is if we actually have real economic reforms and are able to elect conservative candidates and have a conservative majority in the Congress, then hopefully we can pass some real economic reforms that will expand the economy, grow the job base, and provide jobs and opportunity for all kinds of people.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And we've seen that dynamic economy absorb a lot of people in the past and not create a lot of tensions because the demand for good people and hard workers is there, and it should be there.
That's right.
Well, Mario, I'd sure love to see some kind of consensus emerge where we could solve this problem because we've been trying for 25 years. Hasn't worked yet. Mario Lopez, Hispanic Leadership Fund. And where can we find you on the web?
HispanicLeadershipFund.org, or you can check us out at Twitter, Facebook, and all that.
All right, so HispanicLeadershipFund.org. Now, what are your favorite? You have 35,000 music files and 5,000 CDs. What's your favorite kind of music? Don't tell me Norteño.
I don't. I have a lot, but you know, I have to go the music of my youth, a lot of the 80s, you know, new wave alternative kind of
there
stuff.
You go. Mario Lopez, thanks for being with us. I appreciate it a lot. I'm live from Washington, D.C., Roger Hitchcock at the CPAC convention, and we'll be back right after this.